and worshiping reminds me that my face needs to be turned toward God. So thank you guys for leading us in that. I have a quick poll, Faith Avenue poll. It's a very scientific poll. How many of you in your life, either from a coach or a parent or someone who you respect, has said something to you that has encouraged you or that you've been able to hang on to or that's just meant a lot to you and you've gone, yeah, I needed to hear that? Have you, in your life, okay, a few of us, okay. How many have ever heard from somebody the opposite, where they've said something and it was a zinger and it hurt and it kind of stayed with you? Has that happened to anybody? Yeah. My ninth grade metal shop teacher said to me, he pulled me aside and he said, George, if anybody ever encourages you to run for political office, do it. If anyone ever wants to hire you at a metal shop, run from them. I assume I wasn't very good at it. What's funny is I worked in a shop for 2.5 years after that, never made it to political office. Lastly, here's the scientific poll. How many times have you ever thought to yourself, had this thought, don't say it, don't say it, do not say it, do not say it, as you hear yourself saying it, and then you regret it? Yeah, okay. I told Tim I was going to ask that question. He says, welcome to my world. It's because of that thing that Jane and I started something we call Rewinds. And it was when our kids were little and I came home from a long day and Jane had been with the kids, hectic, and it was a crazy day. And I walked in and I don't think this way and I don't even know why I said this, but I looked at her and said, hi, honey, what's for dinner? And she said, she told me, and now don't get mad at me, it was just it was horrible. I just looked at her and I go, really? And I looked at her face and I thought, my wife might go to jail for murder right now. So I literally walked out the front door, walked out and opened the door, came back in and walked into the kitchen and I said, hi, honey, what's for dinner tonight? And she had this look like, you better get it right this time. And she told me, and I go, that's awesome. And we, since that day, have practiced Rewinds, because how many of us know this proverb that's up on the truth of this proverb that's up here? Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. Words are powerful. Words either encourage us or they discourage us. Every day we think words, we sing words like we did this morning, we speak words, we hear words, we read words, we write words, we interact with words, we even cry or shout words. And words can shape the way that we think. Words can shape communities and cultures positively and negatively. Words can heal us, and words can inspire us or breathe life into us, but words can wound us or deflate us or discourage us. Words are powerful. And we have a lot of interesting idioms around words, and I bet you're familiar with these. A person who does what they say is a person who keeps their word. You knew that. When someone's talking and doesn't give you a chance, what do you say? I couldn't get a word in edgewise. When you see a beautiful picture, you say a picture's worth 1,000 words, except if I take it. It's like, oh, really? When you don't know what to say, you're at a loss for words. When someone talks trash and they end up losing, what do they have to do? They have to eat their words. And I think some of you, this is the truth, you can't lose an argument. You have to do what? You have to get in the last word. And this is really funny. You can put words into someone's mouth, but someone can also take the words right out of your mouth. I think that's funny. Some of you like four-letter words way too much. Things can spread by word of mouth. And then we know the famous lie from the playgrounds. sticks and stones, but words, yeah, we know that that's a lie. Some of us have lots of words, and some of us have a few words. Some of us are done talking by 9 o'clock in the morning, unless we haven't had our coffee, and then we don't talk at all. Some of us like to say everything we think or feel, and then we clean up the mess later. Others of us barely can say what we think or feel. Some of us are verbal processors. Do we have any of those in the room? You just have to talk out loud. If you've ever had a boss as a verbal processor, you know what danger that can be. You go do what they ask you to do, and they come back. Oh, I was just processing out loud. Some of us just like to internally process without words. We can confront with a word, and we can comfort with a word. Words are powerful. Jesus healed with a word. Jesus spoke words of life. Jesus delivered with a word. Jesus confronted false authorities with his word. Jesus cast out demons with a word. And as one of the songs we sang alluded to, the Apostle John says, Jesus is the very word of God. This morning we're going to read out of the book of James. And I don't know when the last time you read the book of James is, but James is one of those people who uses words very strongly. You don't have to wonder what he's thinking. When you hear the passage we're going to read today, you wonder, James, are you cynical? Are you angry? What is going on with you? But there's something powerful about this, because James challenges the early church to remember that words are not neutral or harmless, that words are powerful. They can uplift and strengthen, or they can damage and divide. Words impact our own lives. They impact the lives of others who we worship with, and they impact our communities. Right now, especially as things heat up politically, we can look out in our culture and see the destructive nature of words. If you go online and see the responses to people, I looked at a football player just this morning. I was looking at something that he said, and the words that were spoken toward him were so cruel and so hateful and so divisive. But I find it interesting this morning that James isn't talking to the culture out there. He's not saying, hey, you Romans, you really talk, you use bad words. He's talking to the church. I find that really interesting. He's not talking about out there. He's talking about in here. He's talking to Jesus followers. He's talking not to others, but to you and to me. And I want to receive afresh and anew this morning this word about words and the power of our words. We're going to read from James 3, and I want you to notice, see if you can figure out why James is saying what he's saying. And then you can also notice that he uses about 5 or 6 different metaphors. He would have flunked his high school Greek class because he mixed all his metaphors. So let's you can follow along on the screen or on your phone or in your Bible, reading from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, because you know those who teach will be judged more strictly. This is a great word to read as I'm standing up here teaching. Yeah. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Now, word perfect is the Greek word teleos, which doesn't mean we never make a mistake. It means that we're maturing. And that's one of the themes of James's letter, is that we would grow up, that we would mature, that we would grow up through trials, that we would grow up by not treating others better because of their appearance, and that we would grow up with our words, that we would mature. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. They're so large and they're driven by strong winds, yet they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. Here he's getting going now. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James, what do you really think? All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. That's what's going on. Isn't that interesting? Lord, I worship you. You know about that person over there. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And I thought we could say that together this morning. Let's just say that. This should not be. Look at the person next to you and say, this should not be. Okay. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James chapter 3. How are you doing with your words? James challenges us to grow up in our words, to pay attention, to understand that words are powerful, that words affect our lives, that words affect the lives of those around us, and words affect our communities. Some things James is not saying. He's not saying that we should speak perfectly all the time and we can never make mistakes. Thank God for that. There is grace and there is mercy. James is not saying that life is only about words, and we all know that. Have you ever gone to the Oregon coast and just stood there? There's something powerful in silence. Have you ever been sitting with someone going through a hard time? There's no words, but it's powerful. James is not saying life is just about words. James is not also saying that we should always just speak positive, saccharine-infused Christianese. Sure love you, brother. Sure love you, sister. Just trust God. He's not saying that. He's not saying that we can't critique things or that we can't use strong language. He uses very strong language. Sometimes we disagree and we feel passionate and we can use strong words and we can critique things that happen. And he's not saying we can't disagree or feel passionate about things. You should come to some of our directors' meetings at our church sometime. You say something, and wow, you better be prepared because people feel very passionately about it. James is not saying that, but he's using strong language and metaphors to remind us that our words are powerful. He wants us to be intentional and purposeful with how we talk to and about others and how we talk to and about ourselves. James would have been deeply familiar with this prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord my God. I wonder if we could pray that this morning. I'll help you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord my God. What a beautiful prayer. So, I want to give us three things this morning that I think can help us with our words. And the first is very ironic, maybe. The first way to help us with our words is by practicing true listening. In James chapter 1, he says this. I think I have this verse. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I think most of us, and most of the world translates this verse, quick to speak, quick to become angry, and we don't listen at all. We are not very good listeners, are we? It's not our strength. But James says we should be quick to listen. That's the first response, quick to listen. Often we're quick to get angry, or quick to think about what we're saying, or quick to make a judgment, or quick to say someone's wrong, or quick to say this is how we think about it. We're not quick to listen. And of course, we don't have to listen to abuse or when someone's berating us. When I was helping a couple learn the talker-listener one time, the wife came in and said, when we're doing the talker-listener, do I have to repeat everything he says? And I go, well, give me an example. And he said, and she said, well, he told me, I feel like you're a jerk. And I looked at him and he goes, well, it was a feeling. And I go, that is not a feeling. That's just a rude statement. No, you don't have to repeat that. What should we listen to? First, we should be quick to listen to God. And this is a repeated theme in the scriptures. We are called to be listening people, to listen to God. Read Psalm 81. In there is the exasperation of God as a parent. If my people would just listen to me. Imagine a mom at the end of a chaotic day with kids and a husband sitting around the table and just saying, if my people would just listen to me, this household would go better. If my people would listen to me. The great prophet Elijah was burned out, depressed, suicidal, got off track, was all alone. He reconnected with God, not in the great big miracles, but through listening to the still, small whisper of God. God is speaking. God has been speaking since the beginning. Here are just some of the things that God is saying through Jesus. See if you can hear it. You are my deeply loved daughter or son. That's what God is saying. You are forgiven. You are chosen. You are seen. You are accepted. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have hope. God is with you. What you are truly longing for can be found in Jesus. That's just some of the things that God is saying that we can listen to. And it's out of that place of love and acceptance as we listen to God, then we can begin to listen to others, to truly listen to them. M. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, says this about listen. He didn't say that. James said that. He said this, by far the most important form of attention we can give to our loved ones is listening. True listening is love in action. One other author says that listening is so close to loving another person, you can't tell the difference. When people feel listened to, they feel valued, respected, connected, like they matter. I was talking to a group of moms one time, and we were talking about listening. And I wanted to prove a point, so I said, how do you feel when someone listens to you? And one of the leaders stood up, who is a friend of mine, and I knew I could do this, and they started to talk. And as soon as they started to give their explanation, I said, oh, that's great, and I turned around and called on someone else. And then I turned back to look at her, and she was so angry. And she didn't know I was playing a joke on her. And she goes, you will listen to me. When we don't feel listened to, it devalues us. And the first place that we can start using our words in a powerful way and being intentional about our words is listening to one another. So I want you to look at the person next to you and say, listen to me. I mean it, really. Listen to me. Listen to her. Listen to her. You, she said, I've said that. I hear that a lot. I love that the first step in learning the power of our words is not by talking at all, but is by listening. That's powerful. Secondly, this is really interesting to me. James connects our worship directly with how we talk to others. And I have a verse up here that he uses. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I don't know what was going on here. What do you think was happening? Was it like, Lord, I bless you. Lord, there's none like you. God, you're so good. Oh, 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 oh. But Harold, Lord, would you curse him? I don't like him at all. I doubt that's exactly how it was going, but it might be, Lord, I worship you. You know what I heard about Jackie? We really need to pray for Gene Skinner. You know, let me tell you how we should pray for him. Maybe it's something like that. They were separating their relationship with God from the way they treated and talked about others, who James says were created in the very image of God. If I remember the people who I'm talking about are sons and daughters of God. I don't know that I heard it audibly, but it was one of the strong senses that I had in my heart. Early on in our marriage, I had said something to Jane, and I was walking away, and I felt very justified in what I said. And in my heart, this phrase, my heart sometimes, when I feel like the Lord wants to drop something there, it just gets quiet. And I wish that my response was always, Lord, speak, for your servant is ready. I usually say this, what? And as my heart was quiet, I heard this. Don't treat my daughter or talk to my daughter that way. I realized I'm like living with my father-in-law every day. Jane, first and foremost, someone created in the image of God, a daughter of God. When I see people that way, it changes the way I talk about them. Jesus said it this way. If you're bringing a gift to the altar and you realize that your brother has something against you, go first. Jesus connected our worship and our relationship. Go first. Go make it right when it's possible. The Apostle John said it in a different way. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God and yet hates his brother. Whoever claims to worship God with his tongue and yet hates his brother with his words, John says he's a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us the command, anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister. I don't know exactly what was going on. Worshiping God, cursing one another. But James says this should not be so. The scriptures challenge us a way to talk to one another. Here's some of the ways. We are called to encourage one another. That's pretty great. We are called to speak words that give grace or impart grace to one another. We are called to speak the truth in love to one another. We are called to bear with one another. We are called to be kind and compassionate to one another. We are called to get this, not to curse one another, but to bless one another. And not like the Southern blessing. Oh, bless her heart. She's so dumb. That's not the blessing. To bless one another, to impart life. And we're even called to, get this, bless our enemies. Put that on your refrigerator. Put that on your phone. Put that on top of your TV during this political season. And you might have to work through that southern blessing. Lord, bless him. Bless his heart. And then it might work out to real blessing. James wants us to remember that the one who is so different, who thinks differently or votes differently or expresses their faith differently or roots for a different team, is also created in the image of God, and that we are called as Jesus followers to blessing, not curse. And then lastly, this is where we'll end. It's not in this text, but I think it's a great reminder for us that our words flow out of our hearts. What I say can determine my heart also, but mostly when I say something, it exposes what's already inside of me. Jesus said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If I want to grow up, if I want to mature in the words that I speak, if I want to be someone that offers encouragement, if I want to be someone who offers blessing, if I want to be someone that has grace that is imparted to others, it begins with my heart. Change happens from the inside out. It's true I can change the way that I talk to and about others, but I need a heart transplant. I need deep inner salvation. And thankfully, God is good at salvation. We need God's mercy and grace to wash over our hearts, and I'm thankful for that. And for me, that brings me back to the prayer that I led us at the beginning, that I'd like to lead us in again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord my God. And then I wrote this prayer. May our words bless, encourage, and be full of truth in love. And may we remember that everyone we meet is created in the likeness of God. So how do we respond to this? And I wonder this morning if there's just a couple things. One, and I think this might be good for some of us as an exercise, you could do it throughout the week. Are there some words that were spoken over you or that you've spoken over yourself? And you need to say, you know what? Those are just not true. They were said, and yeah, they're there, but I'm not going to let those words stick with me. I'm not going to play those words over and over. I got to meet with a college student, and he came in, and he was super discouraged, and he just couldn't get free. And somehow we started talking about his relationship with his dad. And he said, yeah, my relationship with my dad's been a challenge. And he goes, for example, a little while ago, I asked my dad what the word rue meant. And my dad said, it's like regret, like I rue the day you were born. But for my friend, my college age friend, that stuck with him, and that's how he felt that his dad felt about him. And that day, through prayer and through words and then through lots of work, he got to say, that's not true. God formed me. God created me. I am created in the image and likeness of God. Are there some words that you tell yourself that every day that just aren't true? There was an actor on Saturday Night Live that used to say something, and then his little shtick was after he'd say something, he'd go, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm stupid. I'm familiar with that. Maybe there's some words that you need to lay aside and let the words of truth. Secondly, is there anything that you need to repent of? Words that you've spoken to a friend or a spouse or a parent that may have damaged them. Lord, I just want to repent of that. I confess that I've spoken words to someone created in your image, words that have damaged, and I want to receive your forgiveness. And then The last thing. So there's some things that I think we need to let go of. There's some things that we need to release and some things we need to repent of. And then lastly, I wondered if the Lord would speak to us either this morning or sometime this week when you're sitting quietly, that you could receive a word or a phrase that would be for this next season. And I don't want to put something on you like, Pastor George said I have to hear a word. No, there's nothing there. That's not it. Just if there's something that you feel like the Holy Spirit would drop into your heart, yeah, that's for this next season of my life. Maybe it'd be the word hope or courage or whatever word is there that you just say, Lord, that's for me the rest of this month or this next season of my life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for James. Thank you for his strong words on words. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that you would remind us that every person we come in contact with is created in your image. And that whether they're there or not, we would speak words of life and not death. We'd speak words of blessing and not cursing. Lord, remind us of the power of listening, and then we all ask for salvation deep in our inner being, that you would do surgery in our hearts, and when we see words that we speak that are harsh and demeaning or gossipy or hurtful, that you would do surgery in our lives. Lord, thank you for every person in this church. We ask your blessing here. We pray over Tim and Jessica, and we thank you for them. Ask that you would protect them and encourage them and strengthen them. And thank you for this day, and we offer this week to you, Lord. And we ask that your will would be done in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have some announcements for us?
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, George. Certainly something for each one of us to take away this next week and in this next season of our lives. I do have a few announcements. The first is that Tim and Jessica send their hellos. They are on a much-deserved, well-deserved vacation. Tim will be back next Sunday to do another message out of the Book of John. I think this is year 3 in John. I don't know. But it's been a great series, and so I know he's going to bring us the next message next week. One of the things that I've so appreciated about this church is that we're a church that's very service-minded, and we have another opportunity. There are sign-up sheets out on the table in the foyer if you are so inclined, willing, able to bring in some lunch supplies for next Sunday. We're going to be putting together about 105 lunches to serve Hosea Youth and the Community Court. So if you're able to do that, sign up out there. A reminder for the future, August 4th, we are going to be having Church in the Park. So not church here on that day, but Church in the Park at Aubrey Park on River Road. It'll be from 1 to 4:30 p.m. Hopefully it'll be cooler by then. There will be music featuring our musicians, and I think some other fun stuff going on that day too. So just kind of keep in your minds August 4th, Church in the Park. I'm going to leave you with one last joke. Sorry, this might be an eye roller. Why couldn't the bicycle stand up? It was too tired. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you. Do I need to push more?
Yeah, you just need to hold it down.